You can tell she's had a day off.
That cold storm.
You can't get the staff. It's just like, oh, ho, ho, ho. Fingers working?
Yep.
Not forgotten how?
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll move on. Actions from last meeting. Did we all read the minutes? Fantastic. Have we all done our actions? We're not talking about songs with actions, David. So we were to finish looking at the laws and bring amendments to the next meeting. Law of Restoration and Law of New Foundations in particular. Has everybody got those?
Yes.
Laura?
Not printing. Got them on my
phone. The one that's in the wrong pocket, not the one that's in the right pocket.
Yeah.
Spare us if you would like.
Spare us theirs.
Mike, can you pass that over?
Which one do you want to start with? Whichever one's on top. Law of New Foundations. Well nominated. Right. Everybody had a read? Anybody have any queries, questions, need for clarification, punctuation, removal of capital letters or anything else? Alice and Jeremy aren't here, so I'll ask them separately.
So we'll probably whistle through it without that bit.
Without the punctuation police.
Need a full stop, third line down.
Need a full stop at the end.
We need full stops pretty much everywhere because Mike wrote this. And he does everything in bullet points.
We don't need full stops at the end of bullet points.
But there was a comma there.
You don't need full stops at the end of bullet points.
You need them in sentences.
Yeah.
It's a sentence. The first line.
Well, that's not. It's a comma there.
It's a sentence.
It's Ephesians 2:15.
Yeah, but that's a scripture.
Well, look, you've
but that's
got
not the same as a sentence.
Yeah, that's a scripture.
Obviously not.
Do you need to put it in speech marks if it's
a... So I plead totally innocent for not putting anything in that, because I didn't. I just cut it straight out
cut
of
it
the
straight out.
Thing and put it in there.
But it should have one. Because that's the end of the scripture. Mm-hmm. But if bullet points are bullet points, they should be in bullet point format. Mm-hmm. However, we'll look over that. Right. Does it make sense? Do people understand it, or do you have a need for clarification of what does it mean?
What do you think?
I know the answer, but I have to put it out there.
I don't understand all of it.
Could you be more specific about what you don't understand? Don't just go everything, because that's not allowed.
Are these for new people, or are they for people already established in the church? Because if it's for new people, you may want to explain what new man oneness is.
No, it's not for new people.
No.
That's okay then.
I doubt
but
new people would be...
please explain what new man oneness is.
Not be in a position to let new people play with a lot of this stuff.
No, exactly.
That would probably be beyond their pay grade.
So, I've got a question then.
Go on then. Well, apart from what's New Man Oneness? And it's not a band.
No.
Good name though. Good name,
yeah.
So,
the first. So, the Ephesians is saying, although enmity is opposition and hostility. So, it's by abolishing the opposition and hostility, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Yes? So by abolishing his flesh, the hostility of the flesh to follow God's command. So you've been released from that. Is that what that says? That's what that's meaning. So therefore you're extrapolating from that that all new foundations must be an expression of love's essences and oneness. So I wrote in the column counter, and this is not me, David, the individual, thinking about this from that perspective. So what is the counter to? Are we just replacing one set of laws with another?
So there's a difference between laws that forbid and laws that permit.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything in there which is a forbidding. It's all an empowering and a permitting.
Yes. So I think it would be good to have that explanation for the deck of laws to counter that. How do we counter the? Well, you seem to be.
Well, it's like the law of liberty, which seems to be an oxymoron, but actually totally isn't when you understand laws from a permissive and empowering rather than a forbidding and.
Yeah, So global context question rather than.
So, what would you like to add that would it clarify that?
I'll probably add to the whole statute book.
Yes.
An explanation of the fact that. Yeah,
they're enabling in that context.
Yes, yeah, because in reality, none of the laws were for the Gentiles anyway. They only applied to the Jews. So anything you find as a law doesn't apply. But because we're one new man in Christ, and there is no middle wall or partition between anybody, then now none of them, they're all fulfilled in Christ, which is, if you love one another, they're all fulfilled. Yes. So in a sense, the essence of love is the key to understanding of all fulfillment of everything.
Yes. I've written spirit and intent, not the literal interpretation. That is from an open, loving place, but which is the same for all.
Yeah.
So the law isn't born out of a, as you say, this restrictive, controlling, closing down thing, binding. Attitude or spirit, it's coming from that other one. So I just think that probably, is something, perhaps, just, and whether it's to the whole deck or something, I just thought, hang on a minute.
I think it is worth considering.
Yeah, or maybe it's a. And then, so that's the only other, and then the other thing is, in jurisdiction, you're putting all this skipping ahead, but at jurisdiction, I like the definition of jurisdiction that was used, and I would say that, but that you came up for an enterprise. The ones that we put on books from Enterprise, it's far more broken down in terms of it's for the ecclesia and so on about who's coming into agreement with it, rather than a big broad brush.
That does say the Joshua generation.
It does say the Joshua generation, and I just thought, I wonder if that could be expanded, because that's going to be the same on all the laws, I think, isn't it, more or less, do you think?
If it applies to that, in the sense the Joshua generation are the forerunners who then empowered the next generation to come into everything that they've come into. So, it's for the Joshua generation to empower others.
I was looking at that and I thought perhaps it needed to be clarified to be within a mandated sphere of authority, because you could have people in Joshua generation who are various, depending on destiny, will call and use certain laws depending on their spheres of authority, won't they?
I guess it's how far you take an explanation down into any situation. So yes, you would. Within the Joshua generation, there will be people who have different calls, destinies, whatever else. But any of them, in reality, if God gave them the authority to use that, then they could.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But the thing is, not everybody will think that I need to check whether I have a mandate to be able to, or whether I have permission, if you like, or I'm released from God to use it in certain situations. Because they might have an authority to use it within a certain situation, but then if you try to use it outside of that certain situation, you're operating outside of your mandated sphere of authority, which could then bring you into all sorts of...
Yeah, I mean, could do. I mean, it's difficult I mean, you can, again, you could have that as a caveat to all the laws. When I release them to the Joshua generation in terms of the Engage in God program, I always put a caveat to it that they need to take this to anything that they feel that they feel drawn to. They need to go to the Court of Chancellors and they need to get authorization if they're allowed to use it or not, and then put it to the Court of Strikes so it's in their record. And if it isn't, then they can't. So they can't just use it because it's there. They have to get it ratified for their own personal use, which is essentially what we do here. We ratify it for our use, but that doesn't actually permit everyone to use it in the church. It actually permits those in government. And you could, you know, in a sense, if we take it to the Court of Chancellors and we ratify it and put it into our statute book, then it does give anybody within the governmental sphere here the power to use it, but not everybody in the church. And then but we've done that. When I apply it outside, then I basically say, you have to do that. Don't assume that just because this is here for you to see, that you can use it. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, how long's a piece of string and how far do you want to go into Joshua generation? You know, you could put those of the Joshua generation who are authorized to use it, which would be more accurate, because it's not that everyone can use it without it being agreed for their use, and I make that clear with people. I mean, add whatever you think would be more clear.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where it says consequences, you're talking about communion. When you say communion, what kind of communion are you talking about?
Communion as in taking communion.
Right,
okay. Yeah. Because the communion is really a manifestation of the union that we have in our relationship with God in oneness that empowers us to receive everything. It expresses our oneness when we take it, and therefore it releases that.
No, I just wasn't sure what kind of, you know, were you using communion as our communion together?
No, that wasn't what I thought it meant. I mean, in a sense, it doesn't mean that either. That's the thing with some of it. It's like it can have a dual function. I was thinking of actually, the power of when we take communion.
Well, you could simply put taken in front of communion.
Yeah, you could do. But I mean, I don't, you know, I can't say that. I just wrote down what I saw. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually think about it in terms of, because that's the function of coming here, isn't it?
We're gonna just make sure it makes sense to the people who read it fresh. That's cold. It's got to be clarified. So it's not wrong. It's just a case of making sure it's clear. So, right. So we've kind of gone to the end before we've worked through the rest of it. Are we all happy with the context? Do we think we understand what that means?
Shouldn't the "you are authorised in one new man to establish new foundations" be in the authority bit?
Maybe. Is it? Well, it's... That is the context is, you're authorised to use the law of foundation. The rest of it then is what the law of foundation is. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the context that you can use this, but then the authorization of what it is that you're using comes in the rights and authority. But I think so.
It works in either place.
Yeah. So. So in other words, if you're not operating in the understanding of the one new man, then you're not authorised to use it, basically.
In that case, I would definitely move it down.
So effectively, you know, without unity and oneness, there can be no foundations.
Yeah.
Basically, I think that's the message. Which is when you come then to establish an ecclesia or anything, that's why it's absolutely vital that you get the relational foundations of the government established.
I wondered whether what was the first line, so you were authorised in new man oneness to express the desire and the thought of union, should go below the, like, should be the third line rather than the top line. Because you're authorised to call for new foundations of oneness. You're authorised to call for blueprints of oneness seem to be almost first step.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't be looking at it from the point of view of
progression or anything. No, I was just wondering to help helping people to...
Mm. It's almost just like that's how it came. So, yeah. I mean, I don't get it in that format. So I had to put it into that format. So I've got to look at what I get and then say, okay... Exactly. Where does that fit within the boxes?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, there are some pretty serious authorizations there when you get down to the bottom, because you're targeting places effectively, which is, you know, you have to know very clearly what you're, where you can target. And quite a lot of it is tied up with the Chancellor's houses, obviously releasing, commissioning, mantles and stuff.
Anything else? Any other amends?
Okay. Got nothing else? I'm not sure. I'm not going to do punctuation on that. Grammar or...
Well, no, I'll just let Jeremy do that. He'd be disappointed if we don't let him do it.
I wasn't sure about the first one and the consequences. New foundations will be the essential element of everything that has the...
Designation new. Well, basically, the foundations of the stuff up there have to be there if you're going to call anything new. Basically, that's what that's saying. So when anything is coming from anew, you have to put in.
Let's do that bit.
Those things, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's really, and therefore, I mean, when we say consequences or results or different ways of looking at that, it's almost like this is saying, yeah, if you're going to do something which is coming from a new perspective, then these are the things that need to consider as being in place for that, like and like an ecclesia or whatever new thing. I think that's really what it's saying.
You have to be careful how you use this.
Yeah.
Be careful how you use it, this one, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Because this is essentially what you use this for, would be to create a whole new way to order things, to build upon, which will actually, another consequence, will probably jar with what's already in existence.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well I think that's the bit where it says, you know, you're authorised to see the end of the old.
Yeah.
And clear away the debris.
But the consequence is there's going to be debris.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, yeah,
debris might be somebody else's wondrous gold palace that they've been building.
Well, it could be Crystal Cathedral. Yeah. Tumbling down.
Yeah. Well, it could be. And actually, you've got to be aware that that's the consequence, which is, so you don't use this lightly.
No, you don't use it lightly at all. Yeah, I think some of the things when you're looking at these things, you have to say, okay, this gives you authorization, but it doesn't give you a willy-nilly approach. You still have to get strategy to use it.
And you still have to have the oneness thing going on.
Yeah, and that's
I don't think you can use it contra. So that,
no, you can't use it for, you know, so let's get some of those old denominations and screw them over. But that's the structures, but it's the people within which we need to love.
Yes.
And see, call them to their destiny and
let them dismantle it.
Yeah, we're not going to dismantle anything, but we are going to create the spiritual environment that sends legions of angels out.
Yes.
Which is one of the. And to call for architects and designers who are going to get things out of mysteries to establish new things that don't exist yet, which is what that's saying. There are things that are in the discovery house in darkness that need to be brought into the light, and they have never been seen as yet. Doesn't mean that we have to do that, but it does mean we can call for the architects and designers to do that, whoever they are. But I think the bit where it says to facilitate the sites where new foundations are going to be laid, that's the bit where you have to have very clear direction of where and what that is. Because that there's a clearing of a site of things which are hindrances and obstacles. It's like basically Jericho coming down. There are certain Jerichos in certain places that are the intimidating factors that stop people coming into the place of inheritance and establishing something new. And those, and again, the heart for doing that is not to come against those people, but to see the intimidating structures and religious spirits and things behind some of those Jerichos to come into the light, to get exposed, and for people to see the true reality of the old. You know, this is old. You know, this is not me in the desire of God's heart for me, you know, in that sense individually for people. But you know, I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, the first place that I would particularly use this would be our region, because we are looking for government within our region, and we're, as a regional mandate, you know, I would be looking, okay, where was God authorizing this to be used within our region? And You know, and it doesn't mean that you have to go through the whole thing and do everything. It may be, hey, we're just going to do one line, mm-hmm. and we have authority to do one line. It doesn't, you know, and that's mm-hmm. the seasons, the timing, the strategy of it is to be led by the Spirit in its use. You know, and so if I was to take that, I would carry it within, and then I would birth out of it whatever flowed. And that might just be one line. You know, I could probably produce a declaration or series of declarations based on each one of those lines, if that was what, you know, I sort of did. But I haven't used it yet.
Give us a heads up when you're going to write.
Well, if I'm here, I think it's us for us to corporately use.
Well, I think actually there's a couple of things that you said in that explanation that was very helpful, and there's two of them in particular I'd like to see them put in the consequences. So if anybody was casually reading this, if they were minded to do so casually, you said structures of the old will be destroyed and cleared away, like Jericho being destroyed. Now, that's a pretty serious consequence for people to understand, so don't mess with this. Mm-hmm. The other thing you said was, because of that, people will be able to see and recognise the old.
Mm.
So that would, again, shake their foundations and frameworks.
Yeah.
So I think those are two important consequences we need to put in here that express what's going to happen if you do this.
For me, there's a feeling, I will try and use the best words that I've got to express this thing, which is that initially, when I see things that are contra to the spirit of this and the spirit of God within things, initially I went through a phase of coming under it because of tolerance, if you like, and that was the norm. And gradually over time now, when I see things that are contra that oneness, they're actually quite irritating. Mm. So I spot them much earlier on, and then people that are operating out of that I see much earlier on, so I'm much more relaxed about it, whereas before it would be, we're all going to die, you know, or whatever, whatever they were painting, whatever the context that was driving their story at that time, and that I then came under. But now, I kind of think there's a safety trigger on this, which is actually, you feel this as much as you think this, because this has the context at the time that you need it, that you know that it is the thing that you need to come against or to whatever it might be. But you don't do it you do it to progress what God's doing, and undoing it as a kind positive, of...
Because it's not a... our battle is not against flesh and blood.
No,
it's to deal with the spiritual dynamics that are in place that are hindrances. Because, I mean, you see Joshua and Caleb, they didn't go around and kill the other 10 spies.
No.
They just rent their clothes and wailed,
essentially,
because they felt such a loss.
Yes.
And they saw all those that were going to die in the wilderness as a result of that, and they, in a sense, placed themselves to make sure that there was going to be a generation that did go in.
Mm.
You know, so it was a motivation of love, you know, not a disrupt or trying to, you know, obviously the enemy works through people who are blind to him and he uses them. But when we look to deal with that, we're not looking for those people to get destroyed, or we're looking for them to come into the light in reality. So they can see the truth and help people come through that truth. And it would be wonderful if some structures, old structures, transitioned into new ones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it, we know it won't always happen that way because of the nature of people wanting to keep hold of the control.
Is that we may not always be aware that things are operating in the old until they start falling apart. Because once you trigger this or use this, things on the surface may appear to be trying to operate in the new or saying it's new. If they started to fall apart, you might be able to see what's behind them. So I think things will be exposed that maybe have a veneer of newness when actually they're not in that place at all. But we need to be aware that when we use this, if things start crumbling, that's a consequence, and we need to know that's what we did.
Yeah.
I think one of the key things here is all new foundations must be an expression of love's essence and oneness. Mm. You know, it's like if you can't get past that, if it's not like, yes, that's totally it, then actually the rest of it you can't even progress to.
No, you can't. And I think that's the nature of unveiling God as he really is, rather than how he has been presented to be. And there's going to be a lot more of that needing to be done. Because that
more heart cushions required.
But it is, in a sense, very much like that. And, you know, I really like the way in which that is, you know, engaged with, you know, what God was like and where we are with him now, in a way that everything that God does is an expression of his desire and love, and the removing or unveiling or shaking of things is only to bring people into a greater revelation of him and their destiny and truth. It isn't to damage them, hurt them, or do anything like that, you know. And therefore the motive of God's love, his wrath, anger, is only expressed against that which is robbing people of their destiny, not against people.
Yeah.
You know, I think that whole essence will, you know, need to be continually reinforced, so that we are flowing out of that and don't ever default back to, you know, a wrong view of God, and therefore we do things out of the reflection of that wrong image, which is why there's so much judgment around in the Christian community, because they see God as a God of judgment and punishment. Therefore, they are totally at liberty to operate in the same way as the God that they see.
Yeah, you've just talked about the establishment of the entire Western culture that we have, which is punish the wrong, reward the right.
Yeah, so totally.
We've got a long way to go with this stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
Someone's got to start. That's
the thing, to show the seriousness of it.
So structures of the old will be destroyed and cleared away. This is what Mike said, so I'm
quoting.
So
it's in his words. Like Jericho being destroyed. Which was pretty total, actually. They didn't leave a lot behind, did they?
No.
Right. The other thing is, people will be able to see and recognise the old. Blinders will be cut off. Right, happy with that? Any more? Essence of that one captured, moving on. The law of restoration. In much smaller font.
Get it on one page. They've got glasses out.
Actually,
do I need to go downstairs and get them again?
No,
sorry. I was going to bring them up just in case. You don't need both in that sentence.
Change the sentence where it goes, I authorise you to expose the greatest scandal of the ages, the perversion of my love relationship, into a religious image of abuse. It sounds like to author, you're exposing something, the scandal, into a religious image of abuse. So
yeah.
I wonder if we could sort of word that a little bit differently, because it is a bit...
I mean, technically you'd put a comma after the greatest scandal of the ages, that then the perversion of my love relationship is actually a explanation of what that scandal is.
That's
a
scandal.
So, yeah, I mean, in a sense, probably the perversion of my love relationship into a religious image of abuse is the scandal of the ages.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just the word, that little word into is... Makes it sound...
Version of my love relationship into a religious image of abuse. Which, I mean, you can put which is the perversion of my love relationship into a religious image
of abuse.
Yeah, because otherwise it needs
it's not.
I mean, technically, if you put a comma there, but then there's nothing much after it. Normally, you put a comma, then another comma, then it carries on, but it doesn't carry on. So, I think that would probably be better.
But comma, which is...
Yeah.
Solves that. It clarifies that.
So, where have I put the comma? Authorise you to express the greatest scandal of the ages.
Comma. Which is.
Which is.
Well, that is.
Which is. The perversion of my love relationship.
Into a religious image of abuse. In the context at the top, the Lord restore all things, both in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's three things, so you can't have both.
Well, what is, so is it need... all things in heaven on earth? Or in heaven and on earth?
Yeah, and on earth. Or so in heaven.
In heaven and on earth and under the earth. Yeah. So it's actually three things.
Yeah, three
things. So get both out of there. And through all the created or creation. Is it through all creation or through created order and dimensions?
Does it whatever makes more easy reason to understand it? I think then I don't think there's a difference through all the creation order or all the created order. Means everything that's been created.
Yeah.
But the context was sort of, I think, in our dimension, as in and other ones and dimensions, because there are other dimensions other than ours, which does need restoration, but we've got to bring this realm into restored order to give us the foundation to do the others. So.
So can you have a restoration between man and man then? Like, it's between God and man, and man and creation and soul and spirit and all those things. For the oneness and the unity, doesn't man need to be restored to man on the inner consequences?
We
haven't got there yet.
Mm. Eventually, yeah. I mean, anything that's not in oneness needs restoration. Everything that is a reflection of the chaos of the DIY path, essentially, needs to be restored and brought back into wholeness and oneness, union, relationship. Some of this goes beyond stuff I've taught, so it's there, and there are implications that I can see, but I've not taught about it. So in terms of some of the dimensions, some of the circles of the deep rather than circle of the deep.
This is music of the spheres.
Music of the spheres is the frequencies of alignment of government, which you can see within Metatron's cube. So where you get all those spheres of interaction, they harmonize when they come together and produce a chord or a sound or music of some sort. Okay.
The bondage to corruption, shall I be bonded and corruption, not bondage to corruption? So you want to free people from bondage and corruption, aren't
we? Well, that's a biblical statement, I think. It's Romans 8, where it says that corruption. Creation from its bondage to corruption.
Yeah.
So everything effectively, we're talking about the second law of thermodynamics, which is everything goes downward, spiraled, basically.
Decay.
Yeah, Lord into decay.
Death.
Yeah. And without, in a sense, well, everything would, without its interaction with the spiritual realm, everything, even the revolving of atoms and everything would collapse without an introduction into it. But there's more, obviously, what that means.
Yes, that was the one I wasn't sure about.
Yeah.
Oh. Hugh? It was your pen.
Did you have the witches bit further down? Good. I suppose the great scandal. Yeah, you did. That's great. Did you have God and man? Man and man. Man and creation. Man and man.
Spiritual, should it have a lowercase
A? Mm-hmm.
Do you think that I authorize you to unleash the power of my love to its fullest extent, to turn my enemies into my footstools, and I authorize you to administer and facilitate the restoration of relationships wherever there is division and dichotomy. Is it itself a bit of a dichotomy? Because if you're hoping for the resolution of all dissension, don't you outlove the enemy ultimately?
Yeah. I think
so. Are we saying that is actually an act of repentance when they come to their knees at becoming the footstool?
Yeah, the place of a footstool was a place of worship, a place of rest. So it's an old sort of Testament analogy of. Again, the difference between, okay, what do we do with our enemies?
Yes.
A classic example of that would be Saul of Tarsus.
Yeah. That's what I mean. They come to the end themselves.
Yeah.
The enemies come to the end of themselves and actually want to be at the footstool in repentance, don't they? They don't. It's not that they are.
Well, when they see the love of God, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they're definitely. Not subdued.
Oh no, no.
By force not into a. No, that's what
it's
I'm
saying. It's the power of the love which actually causes people to voluntarily say, "What must I
actually,
do?"
Don't get it.
Yeah. wherever they are in their journey.
So
in this realm or the next.
Yes.
I think the division and dichotomy goes beyond just
well, isn't that
relationship into where anything that's separated, heaven and earth, spiritual, physical, yes. any sort of thing which is not union,
it was a cheesy use of that line to have a consideration for the expansion of the prior one about the explanation of the footstool isn't a forceful act.
No, it's not. No,
subduing enemies through power. Yes, but a revelation of enemies.
Yeah, realizing the that they're loved.
Yes, exactly, to the divine. To the divine.
But the enemy, the enemy is not from God's perspective.
No.
God doesn't see anyone as enemies.
No.
He sees them all reconciled in himself already. They don't see it. And therefore, they're at enmity with him because they're not in relationship with him, although he's in relationship with them.
Yes.
I think that's the when they recognize that he loves them and is in relationship with them and has not separated himself from them, then it's just like, why have I never engaged this and experienced it?
At revelation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay.
Again, the context. If someone didn't understand the nature of the love of God, they could see that as a holy war. Let's do a crusade.
Yes.
You know,
That's why I bring it up. Yeah. Precisely that. Absolutely. Although, that's because you could easily look at that and go, well, you know, well, back to Western mindedness about punishing those you judge to be wrong.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And then and twisting everything to justify that.
Yeah.
I actually wrote on this. My spirit sort of gets it, resonated with some of the words themselves, although they do challenge my mind. I don't think I'm getting. I'm operating from a place of self-preservation, or in any way concerned about self or me or my way or any of that. So then, the clarity I seek is only to help enable understanding and relationship for all, including those like me. Was actually the note I wrote on this because I did read enough. Well, I don't. It's, I kind of get it, but it's slightly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think until we really, again, remove the veils, the false lenses, the filters of who God really is, then everything can be distorted. Through whatever we see at the moment, you know, which is why these things aren't to be used lightly, because if you're going to do it through a distorted image, then it's going to cause
pain.
Yeah, which is not the desire of it. Opposite, really, it's to bring people into bliss.
Indeed. Cool. Any more amends? Any more for any more? No. I keep punctuating load of it.
I had to look up what dichotomy.
Dichotomy.
Meant.
Yeah. I think, did we get the man and man in the last
bit?
Yeah.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Oh, no, dumb questions! Dummy?
No. why do some of the laws, why do we put, in the context we're putting the scripture reference in, but not in this one? So if we not put John 17 in here...
Well,
as a reference.
The restoration of all things comes in Acts 3:21.
In most laws, we've got that actually written down as part of the context of the law.
Yeah, you can stick that scripture in there if you want to. Some of it is again. I that's part of my foundation of my life. So, in a sense, I didn't think about it. As a scripture, because it's just
but you can
integral, but there's no problem putting it in there.
So you need Acts 3:21.
See, that wasn't dumb at all.
That was very good because we do try and put some scripture stuff in because it can help as a kind of breadcrumb. Yes, contextualise.
Contextualise.
Yes, helps people in.
Get on then.
Oh!
Why is a consequence? I call you to call, shout, scream out the message of my heart for restoration. Why is that a consequence?
Why? It was just the. This is what you do. So as a result of this,
change that to you will.
As an action.
Yeah, we've
Oh, did I miss that?
We just did it because they were talking. Edited it to, into an action. So you will be able to, or you will call, shout, scream. You will be able to herald the sound. You will.
Oh, so because up there you're authorised to proclaim and herald the dawn of the new day of restoration because you've been authorised to do it. That there.
Consequences.
You will.
Or you will want to.
Okay, so both of those are now not now I call you to call, they are you will.
Yeah. So we've tied them together.
I missed that while I was saying to him, what's it like now?
Well, we just read that and did the same thing about, well, we'll just edit that.
I mean, I just started doing it. As always.
Some of this is complicated.
Yeah, I know. I'm sort of
working complicated manner.
It's not complicated to me, but.
Well, no, I know it's not complicated to you.
Flying a plane's not complicated to a pilot, no.
No, I just think
it's complicated. Well, that's why they're brought here to unpick and make it clearer.
So, yes. And we were going to say that we had made that amend, but somebody asked a not dumb question.
Sorry.
Not dumb. Sorry, it was good.
The only one that looked up those.
It was good. It's all good. Better than in.
Edited. They need to be uploaded again, and then actually, if we add them to the other, how many three. It was three. Mm-hmm. We'll bring them back to the next meeting and pass them all. Rather than trying to do it all tonight, because we've got them all written up for everybody to see.
Well, they're ready to print. They're all ready to go.
You want to do that?
So they can print them there, and then that'll be fine.
Right, that's good then.
What do you want to do? Get the ones we've done ratified, as it were.
Yeah, if you print them. It would be good to.
But I think it would be good to.
Do it.
Sorry.
Five and a go.
Yeah.
Five in one go. Let's do it.
I reckon.
Stop checking the score.
Can I just ask one question from that law of continual supply? Because I wasn't here last time. So you have the right to access my heart and to be the conduit for my boundless wisdom, love, peace, resonance, wholeness, strength, and time, and for these to be your continual resources. Is that limited to just those, or is it? There's a load more. Is that just limited?
Or if it's a continual supply.
Yeah, but is it a continual supply just of those things?
What do you want to add?
I don't know. Well, alright, I was thinking.
What was there?
Well, I was thinking of finances. But would that come in? So I thought, well, where would finance fit into one of those? If it fits, that's fine.
Continual resources, I would say, would apply to anything you need.
Yeah.
Whether it be finances, wealth, gift, people, anything.
All right, okay, yeah, fair enough. So why are these named then?
Just, I don't know, just as it comes.
Yeah.
It? I mean, I don't think, I think
when all right, you, when okay, you get stuff limited, like... All right, okay, if it's not limited, that's fine.
Yeah, I think when these sort of stuff comes, it just comes.
It does, yeah.
As you see it or engage it, it isn't like it's thought out and... It just comes that way, and you just think, well, that's what it says.
Mm. But then that's how I read it, that's why I'm asking the question.
Yes,
Can you read it out again, because I haven't brought my copy in.
No, me neither, so I can't see it.
It's gonna be, I'm going to print out one we agreed at last meeting, and that's what we're going to...
Is that the one that we agreed last meeting,
then,
Joe?
Yeah.
That's
the
consequence,
wasn't
it?
It's a swap around for consequences, wasn't it?
Everything we agreed.
Yes,
the edit,
that's what I'm going to get the unedited thing.
So are you
going to
print
the
get the new and improved one now?
Yeah, that's what the error is.
I just
haven't
read it.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, because it says these to be your continual resources.
But some of them things are sort of.
But they're not just things.
They're not things. It's all characteristics.
Like, you know, yeah, wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, it's just would. Like because wisdom generates everything else.
Yeah.
It's like, and that connection to the heart of God will generate everything else that you need for that particular thing. So it's about the connection rather than the individual.
Those resources, I guess, would include.
And this next bit is
things.
You have the right authority to apply the understanding and the boundless resources I have given you to situations within your sphere of influence.
Okay, yeah,
so that sort of does, I think, stretches the bit it. Stretches it to the boundless resources that God's got for us.
Cool.
So we did law of continual supply. What
was
the other one we did?
Law of order.
Yeah.
Was that one?
Law of order. Did administration get through yet?
Finished it.
We redid it.
We got Ben and Maddie'd.
Yeah, we redid it. That's okay, so that's why I'm keen to get these, because I think they'll help us.
Yeah.
Close those other two, which can't be closed until we've got.
Got some of these in place. Actually, some of these will help with that.
Precise some more. Exact them more.
Because they're related to
I think they're related to
great.
From our enterprise and context.
Pretty, pretty clean. And then copy.
I'm smiling.
Spurs are winning now?
No. Arsenal are losing.
Arsenal, that was just as bad. Well, that's just as good. Arsenal are losing. That makes you happy.
Okay, well, we can take these five laws to the Court of Chancellors so they can seal them for us, and then to the Court of Scribes so they can be put into our records and the statute books.
Yes.
Again, if there's anything that while you're in each place happens, it'd be good to keep a record of. I think people who turn up, angels, men in white linen, anything that becomes particularly significant, and we'll just follow it through. Okay. Well, we thank you for the open heaven we have, and as the government of the blueprint here, we come with these five laws, and we, by faith, take that step through the veil to engage the Court of Chancellors to present these five laws, the law of truth, law of restoration, the law of new foundations, law of order, and the law of continual supply. And we present these five laws to the Chancellors.
take the sealed and agreed laws, engage the scribes' court, present the five laws to the scribes for inclusion in the records of heaven and into our statute book. See anything of interest? Is that a yes then?
It's kind of scary, but kind of good. I saw the Book of the Law being put on the shelf, but you know, there's when you go in the library, you have all your books on the shelf, and there's spaces for, but on our shelf, and it said freedom, whatever it says, freedom, apostolic resources and whatnot. There was a book like this, but then there was a space meters long for more laws to be put into. So it was kind of like, oh, ah, we need to do more then. That's what I saw.
Well, that's encouraging.
Mm. They're expecting more.
Mm. Yeah. They're expecting more.
I don't know how busy the scribes are, actually, but they seem to be very pleased to see us come along with some laws for them to get something done. So there's a major celebration and lots of scurrying about and sort of like dust was rising as they whizzed around the place and had to kind of get back to work. But I don't suppose there's, you know, like, you know, when people haven't done the job for a while, they sort of like, oh my goodness, I've got to get my brain in order. It was a bit like that, really. But is that a bit fanciful? Because I would have thought they... But I don't suppose there's that many laws being entered at this point, is it?
Not, probably not.
So it just felt like there was this massive celebration and the fireworks went off, really. But it was...
What there is a general recording of everything that goes on. But this is obviously specific. Which is
probably not a lot of that's gone on before.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we've got a big shelf to ourselves.
I saw this sort of what I thought was like a contraption come down on us. But actually, when I looked, it was like all yoked. We were all yoked together, and then there was Jesus with us in the yoke. And then I saw angels with herald and trumpets. Right.
Nice.
When we were in the Chancellor's Court, we all walked up to the Chancellor's, and an angel was there. And as we each walked up, the angel rang a bell, and I just felt there was a different sound for each one of us, but all the different sounds resonated to make one sound, and that is our sound in heaven, and that invades atmospheres. So I saw some ancient ones, I don't know who they were, and Melchizedek there. And then in the scribe's court, they knew we were coming because they'd heard the sound, they knew our sound. And it joined the book where they were putting the laws. And the book became alive. And every page in the book where our laws are, it was almost like, I don't know how to describe it really, it was like each page was almost another dimension. It was like a different... Each page was a planet or something so big, I don't know how to describe it. And it just said life, each page had life on it. There were laws on.
Fabulous.
Sorry, Jane, you're going to have to go through all that again because I don't have any of that.
Okay.
After the bells rang, there was
another deck. Oh, right, some ancient ones, I didn't know their names. So that was the court of chancellors. And then in the court of scribes, they knew we were coming because they'd heard our sound. And then that sound joined the book where they were going to write the laws. And the book became alive. And every page in the book where the laws had been written, it was almost like each page or each law was a different dimension.
So the book came alive?
Yeah, the book, it just, I don't know, they just felt there was life to it. So every page had its own dimension. And I just felt it was, you know, it's more than just words on the page. It was just this, each page was this big thing.
Scribbling down that end, or just pondering.
Oh, I not so much different from Joe, really. Just as the laws became alive, but that each law, when it was stamped and it became alive, had its own resources of angels with it. It was like they were angel. It's like they were in a pen, but they weren't in the pen. But it's almost like once the laws were ratified, stamped. It's like the gates kind of opened and were going to be able to have access to them. They were there waiting, but they were restricted. But as they were being written, it was like in the statute book, it was like with fiery fighting that then we just became alive. So we have angels ready to do what needs to be done when we do these things.
There we go. I had some old bloke laying on the sofa. laying on the sofa. Because I was kind of hanging out at the back thinking, okay, I'm part of this thing. Anyway, so I just let some old bloke get off the sofa with a big bunch of keys. He took a look at them. And then, I don't know, there was a conversation, but it wasn't, I don't know, it was some sort of conversation. Which initial T's.
Again,
you have an initial piece, so I had to initial them all, basically.
Initial the keys. Or
initial
the
these. You haven't initial.
Oh, the laws.
Which I took to be voted or whatever it is. None of this hanging about at the back thing. So I just went, oh, okay. So initial piece. That was as much as I had to do. And then there was that. I think when I say old bloke on sofa, it was like, I wasn't expecting anybody. There hasn't been anybody through here for a long time. It wasn't like grumpy old bloke. It was like really, yeah, it was like just really sort of like, oh, I can do my job now. So it's a bit like that, yeah. He wasn't a grump, and he was just like, okay, well, yeah, you have an initial D. Yeah, well, you have an initial D. So I initialled them, and it all just seemed to go quite smoothly from there, really, to be honest. Well, I always see them with, we've got our own little, not like a ribbon, but quite a decorative thing that hangs off of each of them, yes, and so that you can find them, because it's always, because I just see scrolls and scrolls and scrolls and scrolls. So whenever they get put in, with the scribes put them in, they all seem to have, so that you can find them. It's the wrong way, I see. When they get passed through, what are useful? Glass. They're good. Well, I didn't have any old bloke. I forgot, neglected to ask his name.
Oh,
I know.
Yes.
I know.
It's been waiting a long time.
Yeah, I definitely got that off of him.
When we entered the Court of Chancellors, it was different this time to when we stepped in there before, in that there were rows of banked seating all around the room, and they were packed with people. And the Chancellors were on their bench, up on the high bench. But actually, previously when I've seen like an ornate vaulted ceiling, but this time there wasn't a ceiling, it was actually open to the stars, open to creation, open to the universe. And I was like, well, why has it got no roof on it? And it was because the jurisdiction of the laws is for creation and it needs to hear.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, that's pretty awesome. So we handed over the laws, and then I was aware that there were people stood around us. And the first person that was, he wasn't old bloke, but it wasn't the same one on the sofa, I don't think. The first person that I source stood around us was Noah, and I politely inquired as to why he was there, and it wasn't for Mike's grumpy tummy. It was because of the law of new foundations about washing things away, like after the flood, and establishing new. And then Joshua was there for the same reason, like destroying Jericho and building the new foundations. And then Jesus walked in because we were talking about him as truth. And then there were loads of people, and I didn't get all their names because we were kind of moving on then, but the court was full of people who were excited about what we were doing and about who had turned up to witness what we were doing. And then we moved into the court of scribes, and they took each law, and similarly to what other people saw, as they ratified them and as they entered them onto the into our book of the law, as they were put into the book, each one released a sound, and it resonated with a different sound when it went into the record, and that sound is what will carry through with the laws. And the angels heard the sound of each law as it was entered into the book. That's what I saw. Apart from you sitting down on the end of the bench again. As usual.
After the sound was released, what happened?
Forget what did I say? And the angels heard the sound, if they could hear.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
It must be half time.
Right. Any more?
I saw when we went into the Chancellor's Court, we were invited to walk behind the bench where they were authorising it, and I saw that the letters, like the words on the paper, turned to fire, and then kind of evaporate the wrong word, but kind of
dissipated.
Yeah, dissipated. And then we were queuing up to leave there, and we were given what looked and felt like small crowns or seals of authority and robes. But then it felt like, for the first time, it felt like there was it was a solemn sort of occasion, in that there was this sort of sense of it being needing to understand that it was a serious thing that we were doing, and that it couldn't be taken lightly, and it was an official thing, so it wasn't something to mess around with. And we were invited to sit in this anteroom, which was enormous, which had really high chairs and was packed, although it was dark and you couldn't actually see, but you knew that there were, I felt like there was lots of people there to observe and to see how to sort of get a depth of understanding of the gravity of what we're actually doing. And the impact of it. And then we were sort of escorted out, and it was like quite a sort of hushed place, so there was reverence, if you like, and we were kind of escorted out, and then we went to the next room, and where there was excitement there, because they, the laws have been actioned and being sort of put into the book. And but it was still, there was still this sort of sense of gravity to it, that whereas in the past when we've been all together there's been more of a sense of woohoo, but this time it was a like almost the next step is you need to understand how serious this is.
I'm looking behind where people were standing. There was Metatron, who had these keys, and he had three sets of keys. There was gold keys, silver keys, and bronze keys, and there were a number of them each, and there were for times, seasons, and ages. And then he pointed to three portals. It was like portals, and I could see, like beyond the portals, there were, it was like a place to be seated, a place to be seated at rest. And the portals were was, is, and will be. And over the thing, I could see identity, position, and authority that came from being seated in those places.
Can you say that again, please? So, Metatron was there, he had keys.
Yeah, three sets of keys, gold, silver, bronze. Represented times, seasons, and ages.
Yeah.
He pointed to three portals.
Pointed.
Yeah, well just pointed at them. And those three portals, as I sort of, it's not like I could look through them, but I just knew that within them there were places to be seated at rest. And the portals represented what was, what is, and what will be. And when we're seated in those three places, they would bring identity, position, and then authority.
Old bloke on a sofa with a big bunch of keys then. I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Interesting.
So when we sit in these places, we will...
Identity, position.
So we will have an understanding of identity, position and authority.
Well, it was like... Identity came from being positioned in or seated in what was, and position in what is, and the authority then to bring what will be.
So identity,
position.
Yeah, I've got identity, position, authority, but the identity
came from what was, position in what is, to release the authority to bring what will be.
Action point one.
Okay.
We were to read through the belonging booklet and feedback at our next meeting. But as Jeremy's not here, we can probably feedback to him directly. If he's got any amendments on the belonging booklet. And the third thing was all mountains to get mandates from God for this year. So we'll probably come to that next time, because I don't think we want to sit and go through all of that with every mountain, particularly as not every mountain is represented here. So we'll carry that one forward, I think.
Will we be meeting on the 24th as the away days of the 22nd?
That's a very good question.
I'm away. I'm in Bristol.
Bristol?
I'm in Bristol.
In the Bristol area.
We'll be able to make the 24th.
Wednesday.
Well, that's a Skype, yeah.
24th is Monday week. That'll be our next meeting. But the 22nd is our away day.
Yeah. You get soon after you're away from the neighborhood. Agenda unfinalized.
Meeting here.
GBA.
Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock. It was 9:30 last time.
Oh,
9:30. Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll have to drive out to the sticks.
Yes.
Are you
going to
finish the same time?
Should imagine.
About 2:30-ish.
Yeah. Unless something comes up that takes us longer, but hopefully not. Well, you never know, really. Depends what God does.
Yes.
We'll be open to the fact that something might happen.
Yes.
So, but in essence, as far as we know, that would be the timing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting adjourned. Let's go on.